welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Traitor, the seventh episode of Apocalypse. It's easy to forget which season this is sometimes, and I can't imagine why that is. And I'm joined, as always, by Slow Beef and Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, what's good?
Yo.
Oh, man. Yeah, this episode feels like it's like maybe the most unnecessary one of the season. This, to me, feels like it might be the real, we did nothing. it didn't help.
We're like, all out of ideas.
I don't know if anything they did here moved the plot forward in a meaningful way. Like, get ready for a full hour of people being like, I'm pretty sure this guy thinks this, and then spending 15 minutes to be like, oh yeah, that guy thinks this, which is like, not, that doesn't put, like, I'm not a big, like, you gotta move the plot forward thing, but it's a bit much to be like, I think this guy hates me, and like the audience being like, yeah, he hates you, and then spending 10 minutes to be like, yeah, he hates you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They do that a lot this episode, a lot, where it's like, here's information A. Character B has confirmed information A. Character A has also said information A. 30 seconds later, here's a plot device that will also convey information A. Just in case you didn't believe us the first three times we told you that information A existed. And it's like, man, how dumb do you think we are? How stupid of an audience do you think we are? Oh my God, yeah. It's so, and the thing is, I cannot oversell how much Ty is not being hyperbolic when he says that, like, this episode is a lot of, like, well, nothing happened. Here's a whole episode where nothing happens.
You know how, like, you have to, I feel like, and I'm speaking to the two of you in a way, and to the audience offhand in a way, it's like, when you have to watch these episodes for the show, and they get boring, and it's like, your attention really wanders, it's like, this was really hard for me, this episode, to be honest. I just feel like it was just extra boring for some reason, you know?
As the non-ADHD sufferer of the team, this still sucked. it was still rough. There were a lot of times where I was like, oh man, I could, look at the ground.
Yeah.
Instead, check that out, see what's going on down there.
I felt locked in, but like not for like good reasons. It's because like every time something was happening on the screen, I was just like, but why? But why is this happening? Like, why are you making me sit through this? I was mostly just locked in because I was mad, where it was like, well, like, this doesn't change anything, though. All the things you've done now has changed nothing. We already had this information. I didn't need to be given it again, or I didn't care. This was not the information I cared about. And what's fucked up is, like, this episode does largely take place in what I will lovingly refer to as flashback prime. Which is like the original flashback we're in, because we will get flashbacks inside of flashbacks this episode. Great.
So like, to highlight how much Liz ain't kidding, a character is going to pretend die twice this episode, which is like crazy. And it's just like, both times they're like, oh my God. And then like 10 seconds later, they stand up and they're like, it's fine. Like, it's one of the most embarrassing, like, death doesn't matter moments I've ever seen. And they do it twice, which is like, badass team, keep it up.
And I cannot overstate that it is not the character you think it's going to be. If you were to go down a whole list of characters in your mind right now, this character doesn't even break top 10. I guarantee.
So we should probably get into it, because we'll have a lot to discuss, a lot of the way. Even though nothing happens, it's like baffling the way it's presented, and I think it's worth exploring.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately.
So it's voodoo time, baby. So Dinah Voodoo Doll's a white, like, there's like a white lady just like hanging out And Dinah like explodes her chest open with a voodoo doll. Like they like really draw it out for a bit too, where she's like kind of like going close to it, like, am I gonna, And then she just like rips her straight up down the middle. And I'm like, well, you know, that's not really, there's not like a lot of build up there, which wouldn't be a problem if it wasn't for something that's said like immediately after this.
Yeah. Also, this is taking place in like a black void, like the, not the upside down, but like the, there, in Get Out, there's a word for it when you're in like the deep black space.
The below?
Yeah, or something like that. It takes place in like that. And that's very confusing because like you'd think like, oh, okay, so it's like a metaphor. She's like doing this to the voodoo doll. She's not actually doing it to the physical woman. This is like a metaphor and she's metaphorically ripping this woman's heart out.
Sunken place.
Via the sunken place. Yeah, 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 the sunken place. So, like, this isn't physically happening. And then in about 10 seconds, we're going to find out, no, she did physically remove a woman's heart from her body. And I'm like, well, that's not how voodoo dolls work or how anything works. So, like, Dinah essentially just removed this woman's heart from her chest and teleported it to her, I guess. I don't know. This whole sequence is going to be fucking baffling. This Dinah sequence is going to be fucking baffling.
So, like, just to be clear, though, she does a murder, and she doesn't do, like, anything magical to cover it up.
Like, yeah.
She just kills... Like, she kills somebody from, like, a couple feet away, but, like, she does slice them open and take their heart out and, like... You know, walk in, walk out, touch some stuff, you know, breathe on a plant, that kind of thing. Like, does not do any OPSEC whatsoever. Just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care.
Which just, yeah, I mean, okay, I guess. Sure. But, like, that's the thing is, like, we don't know because they make it seem like she's doing it with the voodoo doll and she's not at the, because we never see where that lady lives. We don't know where this random white woman lives. She's just, like, a random white lady who's, like, in the sunken place getting her heart taken out. Again, it seems like a metaphor because is Dinah remotely removing this woman's heart? And if so, how does she teleport the heart to her physically? Because the other option is that she's doing it in person at this lady's house, but we don't see that. And in which case, that's not voodoo. You just went to a lady's house and cut her heart out. That's not like magic. You just did a crime. I mean, it's still a crime. It's just a less impressive, quote unquote, crime because you just did regular murder that I could do if I walked into someone else's house with a knife. I could also just do that same crime. And again, it all seems very metaphorical because then it cuts to after that happens. Dinah's now at a different white lady's house and it's daytime. And this rich white lady's like, do you have it? And she's like, well, do you have my money? And then the rich white lady hands her the money and she's like, great, thank you. My husband maybe kind of wanted to fuck that lady. So she definitely deserved it. And Dinah's like, cool. Where's your blender at? And then they go to the kitchen of this lady's house, and they put the first lady's heart in a blender. These women don't have names. I would have written them down if they had names. Yeah. They don't have names.
Yeah. And Dinah, by the way, like has the heart in like a Ziploc bag, which is just like very funny to me. Like it feels like there's like so much like magical pomp and circumstance around like everything she does, and then it's just like a Ziploc. And I'm like, bro, can you get like a nice box? Come on.
Yeah. No, she's like, here's your Ziploc baggie with that lady's fucking heart in it. And I'm like, honestly, here's the thing is like, okay, so you're scamming white, like rich white women out of their money. You could have just bought like a cow heart at this point. Like, what they're gonna do with it, you could have just bought a cow heart and been like, yeah, it's the heart of that lady. And then bada bing, bada boom, you made out with however much money that woman paid you. And she can't, like, go to the police and say you robbed her because that would implicate her in an attempted murder. That way you don't have to murder a random woman. And also this other spiteful white lady thinks that she, like, got away with killing a woman that maybe allegedly kind of wanted to fuck her weird old husband. It's this whole sequence gets me real tilted. So she's like, where's your blender at? And then they take the heart to the blender and they put the heart in a blender with someone's toenails. It's either her husband's or hers. I don't know who.
It was hers, I believe, because Dinah was like, I need a piece of you, and then like assumed it would be like hair or something, which I'm thinking like, is hair better?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what's, like, better to put in there, you know? Like, whatever. And then, starts blending it up. And Dinah's like, wow, you must really hate your husband. She's like, oh, I only hate his wandering dick, which it's like, all right, man, there's, like, way more normal ways to handle this, you know? Like,
divorce. There's just
way better ways.
Get a divorce. Frankly.
Go to, like, couples therapy.
Talk about anything. It. I feel like that's step one is, talk it out. Maybe not blend the heart of a woman you think might be trying to fuck your husband. Like, there feels like there's probably, like, 100 steps before this specific one. Because this is basically hiring, like, a hitman, but somehow harder and more intricate. You know what I mean?
And also, like, more fucked up and evil because what we're about to do to the husband. We're about to, like, waterboard plus this motherfucker.
But, like, how hard up do you have to be for money if you're, like, into voodoo like this, too? Where, you know what I mean? I almost feel like this petty bullshit's not worth, like, a sorceress's time or something, you know? But, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, there's no better jobs that magic would help you with, you know? Like, even the Robichaud house,
any scam artist could be doing this. Any scam artist could be like, I'll do voodoo for you. And then they just bring you a cow heart and blend it up and are like, yup, this will make your husband not cheat on you anymore. Like, you could literally just scam every white woman that's willing to do this.
I feel like if you have actual magic, you could, like, go, like, help a farm and, like, prove that you can help the farm and then, like, get hired to help farms. Like, anything, you know?
You know,
like,
what else? Different,
like, you don't have to kill people. You could, like, you know, agriculture.
By the way, you know how you said, like, you know, like, you could do this probably without magic? You can, and they do, right? This is, like, basically one step above, like, those psychics mediums who are like, yeah, I see something in your future. It'd be like, okay, here's the cow heart blended, her heart blended, and in a few months' time, your husband will be faithful to you forever, you know? Take easy. Like, there's no point.
Just not even offer, like, the killing part of it. Because at that point, you're just a fucking hitman with more steps.
Right.
So, like, just be like.
They do kind of explain it in a stupid way with a one-off line of her being like, hey, make sure you tell your friends that I do a good job. Like, the reason she needs to do it and have it work is because she's like, I need these rich white women Yelp reviews.
Yeah.
Like, I need these ladies to give me a 5 on Yelp so I get hired more often.
But even then,
so, like, she has to do the real magic.
It's still a murder. It's still all you did was just kill the woman he maybe wanted to fuck. Like, that, that fixes the problem because you fucking killed the other lady. At this point, you're just a fucking hitman. You're just a fucking assassin.
But what if he wanted to fuck someone else, maybe? You know, like, now he's gonna have a really bad time, and you'll just be like, hey, do you taste cow heart right now? is there something in the air?
It's again, just go to therapy or get a divorce or something. I don't know. This seems like a lot of fucking work for the most mediocre looking, like, 65-year-old man that we've ever seen, who we will be introduced to in just a second. And, like, they make the smoothie and they go upstairs. Well, before that,
first, as they're making the smoothie, Dinah goes to, like, add strawberries into it, and then the lady stops her and she's like, no, it, like, makes it easier to drink, it's, like, less gross, and she pushes him out of the way, and it's like, I'm gonna be honest, Dinah, I think the strawberries just make it so there's more of it. I don't think that's gonna help at all. At some point, all you're doing is increasing the volume, and I gotta be honest, I think I would also be like, no strawberries, please.
You're gonna make me drink the gunk. Like, it's got chicken feet and, like, a lady's heart in it. So, like, also, I know that, like, we're like, oh, well, Dinah didn't do anything to cover her tracks, like, crime-wise. These white women are selling Dinah out for sure. Like, if they even get slightly implicated in this crime, they're like, no, Dinah killed that person. Because, like, how are you going to prove that you, like, paid her to do voodoo? Like, Dinah is the only person who could be implicated in this crime. So, like, there's just no universe in which hitman for hire and being a voodoo practitioner, like, is practical when your clientele are these unhinged white ladies who are, like, rich and have a lot of disposable income and also just kind of want to spite their husband and are willing to pay someone to do murder magic in order to do it.
Also, and here, there's one thing I would let them have this slide for, if not for the fact that Coco literally does rich white woman magic that's, like, way safer and probably gets paid, like, similarly high amounts.
Yeah.
Like, she just was like, that has gluten, and was getting paid, you know, crazy amounts, as opposed to, like, she didn't have to kill anybody. She just pointed to a muffin and said, yep.
Yeah, that's gluten in it. Believe it or not, has gluten in it. Like, that's the thing, is you can scam these women because they're fucking crazy. Like, we see this woman is fucking insane. So, like, also, you don't have to do a murder about it.
Also, in season 3, I thought the voodoo people worked out of, like, the hair salon, right? So, like, how are they encountering, like, the voodoo queen? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to that place.
This
so,
is the
like,
thing, is this is our quote-unquote, this episode, for all intents and purposes, is going to be like, here's the backstory for the other witches that were also in the bunker. Because I'm sure you guys want to know how they came to be, like, friends with Cordelia and how they got involved in this. This is Dinah's, and I'm like, but Dinah was presented to us as being, like, a talk show host. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is not that at all. And, like, will not be. It will not be that at all. I think, if I remember correctly, it's not the end of her story, but, like, if this is what this episode is supposed to be, which it is, spoiler, it is. That's what this episode is. This doesn't match up with what we know about the Dinah who we met in the bunker, who was not under, like, mind control, so she was just, like, a lady who happened to also be there.
Yeah, I had to think about it for a second, but yeah, like, when they cast or uncast the spell of become another person, Dinah was just, like, in another room, like, fuck you, I'm out of here, this stinks.
Yeah, doing the exact opposite of, like, when you say the girls and the gays, can you also include Michael Langdon? Doing the opposite of that, where she's like, when you say the witches and the warlocks, can you not mention Dinah? Yeah, if it's not too much trouble.
Leave me out of that shit. Right. Yeah.
it's fucking baffling. Anyway, back to the fucked up weird thing we're doing. They go upstairs to the husband, who is tied to all four bedposts and blindfolded. And I'm like, well, how did we get here? How did you overpower this man and tie him to the bed like this? Did you use magic for it? Or was he like this and the lady did it when you got here? In which case, this woman's fucking insane. She didn't need to hire a voodoo assassin. She's fucking crazy.
Or he consented to this for, like, sex purposes, in which case, clearly she didn't need to call the voodoo witch.
Because she was, clearly he was willing to fucking just have sex with her, so, oh my god.
So, they walk up to this fella, who's tied to a bedpost and blindfolded, and they shove, like, a fucking automotive funnel, to be clear. Like, this is like, I'm filling a semi out of a gas can, and they just, like, put it in his mouth, and then pour the nightmare milkshake down his throat, and, like, deeply... this is, like, less fucked up than, like, taking someone's parents and turning them into chili. Like, this is unbelievable.
Like, this is all played for comedy. It's fucking horrifying. I've seen less fucking horrifying shit in, like, the Hostel movies. Like, this shit is so fucking insane if you think about it from a not, like, comedic perspective of, like... Man, the cartel does less intense shit than this. Man, just get a fucking divorce. What are you doing?
And so after the goo gets down the funnel, Dinah does maybe the most confusing part of this criminal act, which is takes his blindfold off and then holds her hand over his face and is just like, bazinga. And he's just, and he's like hit by a spell. And then the wife is like, is that it? Are you good? And I'm like, that's like a crazy undersell of what just happened. Like, this lady is beyond nuts, because her response to pouring the funnel of a mix of a woman's heart, chicken feet, down a funnel into this man's throat while like riding him, and she's just like, we're not even gonna like cut him a little. Like,
yeah.
Like, this guy just has to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And then Dinah's like, don't worry, he won't remember any of this. Also, he'll never want to fuck anybody but you ever again. And I'm like, do you want that? Is that what you want, ma'am? Is that what you wanted out of this? Because you murdered a lady. Like, all you wanted was that your husband would only ever want to fuck you again. Like, you have maybe 30 good years with this guy. He appears to be, like, approaching 65, maybe older. Like, that's what you wanted out of this? You couldn't have just gotten, like, I don't know, half of the estate?
Viagra?
Yeah.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Like, goddamn.
Kind of job you only have to do once? Because you have to charge a lot for this, right? It's a lot of work on your hand. You know what I mean? A lot of risk. Like, that's, like, what? Yeah. Like, $250,000, $100,000 at least, right, for this work? Like, I wouldn't do this for like $1,000, like, you know. I mean,
that one guy in season one would have done it for $5,000 and a headshot,
right? But this is like a whole thing, right? It's a procedure, you gotta do this, you're exposing yourself to the cops and all this stuff, and you know,
I mean, shit, even if you're just charging like freelancer hourly,
right?
you gotta put a reason. This is like a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
A lot of materials as well. Like, you gotta get them chicken feet. I'm getting cons for them.
Yeah.
She sends like a detailed invoice afterwards.
It's gotta be cash though, right? Because you can't you know, pay taxes on this, like, right? I mean, so obviously.
So Dinah's walking away from her criminal act, and then Cordelia just like is walking up, like acting like it's just like the fucking parking lot of the Piggly Wiggly, and just being like, oh hey, funny seeing you here. And like, you don't you know, you don't get to do that, Cordelia. And Dina basically just says immediately, like, you know, you don't get to do that, Cordelia.
Yeah, does she have, like, a tracking device on Dinah, do you think? Like, does she have, like, an AirTag, like, an Apple AirTag on her? Like, how did she know she'd be at this lady's house? Like, if it's that easy to find her, damn, like, not very good at doing crimes.
In this world, like, there's a lot of magic that are basically just apps, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can use, so, yeah.
Later, another character is going to find a complete fucking stranger out of thin air, and the show's going to just kind of vaguely gesture at, like, well, her power is kind of like that. And audience, I cannot express to you how much her power is, in fact, not like that at all. Not like even that. Close to being like that, even a little bit. we probably won't even get there today, because goddamn, this is just the opening sequence, and we're not even fucking done with it yet. And it's, we have so much.
Yeah.
I checked. We do not see the end of beginning credits until 15 minutes into the show. And it's only a 43-minute long episode.
Yeah. So, basically, Cordelia just says, hey, I need you to give me a meeting with Papa Legba, because you're the new voodoo queen, because Marie Laveau died and you got promoted, which, like, okay, I guess, like that, like, sure, I guess we just couldn't get Marie Laveau back or whatever. Like, I don't see why Marie Laveau had to die permanent style. That feels like it would be a real easy for like Papa Legba to be like, nah, I'm bored, you're going back.
Yeah.
if there's like any entity that they have put into this show who would just be like, fuck it, we ball, get back in there, kiddo. Like,
true.
It's Papa Legba. He's close to doing it here.
Yeah. I don't even remember, I'll be real, I don't remember Marie Laveau dying in season 3.
I vaguely do.
I think I'm confusing her with the vampire lady from Motel.
I feel like there's like a thing with Papa Legba at the end where he's like, all right, now it's your turn to be in hell with me, Marie. You knew this was always
like you didn't get me the baby on time. Now it's time for you.
Yeah, I'm going to write you into Death Note.
Oh, yeah, because she had like the immortality thing. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because they had to, because Marie Laveau was like a real lady, they had to like... somehow explain why she's not alive in real life.
They didn't have to use her. We've always said that.
The other thing is, and this will be a reoccurring thing.
Oh shit! Sorry, I forgot. She's fucking torturing Borkita in hell. And
yeah, that's
how
right,
could
yeah.
I have forgotten the humble Borkita?
Yeah, poor Borkita. Yeah.
Check out the Coven season if you want to learn about Borkita and Marie Laveau's reluctant torturing of the Borkita.
Yep, I remember now. But like the thing that's also, and this is going to be a reoccurring theme, so I'm gonna front load it here, because I will complain about it later when it happens. Also, Cordelia knows that you don't have to talk to a voodoo person to summon Papa Legba. She knows that from season 3. You don't have to talk to the voodoo queen to summon Papa Legba. You just have to have rum. Like, that's it. He'll just show up. Her mom does it. She does it. They both talk to Papa Legba in season 3 without the presence of a voodoo practitioner. They just fucking summon him. You can just do that. We know that from season 3. And yet, we needed her to need to talk to Dinah for some reason. A woman who, you know, if she's like... for all intents and purposes, the vice president of being the voodoo queen, I guess, because she became the voodoo queen when Marie died. You'd think that would be a lady we had heard about before, you know? If she was, like, the second most powerful voodoo lady, you think we would have heard about her in season 3, at least, like, in passing. You think she would have been mentioned, name-dropped, maybe, in season 3, where, like, maybe Marie would have been, like, yeah, if I die, my second in command will come after you, Dinah. But instead, they're like, no, Dinah does weird hitman stuff in Los Angeles, ?
Sure.
Because she doesn't like doing it in New Orleans because checks notes, Marie Laveau died, ? It's baffling. This conversation's baffling.
So... Cordelia says, okay, give me a meeting with Papa Legba. And Dinah's like, I don't do favors. I need 100,000 big ones, baby. See? Dinero, bucks, casharoo. And it's like, first of all, you have magic. Just like get money. Like it feels like there's a thousand ways to use money or magic to just like get money. Also like the witches control the economy. I feel like you could like up. That ask. I think you could be like $1.2 million because, like, they have infinite money. Who gives a shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, they show Dinah specifically driving, like, kind of a fucked up little, like, beat up car. And I'm like, how much money are you making from these assassinations, Dinah? Because it doesn't seem like you would be hurting for cash, given that it seems like you're doing this a lot.
Look, and I don't know, but, like, I also feel like this Papa Legba thing is easier than the hitman thing. It's like, oh, I don't like calling him, but I can do it, you know? Like, it's part of it, right? Like, so.
Like, she acts like it's, like, a big risk, and then when fucking Papa Legba shows up, spoilers, if you've never seen this character on screen before, he does what he always does, which is shows up, takes a drink, says, hello, ladies, and then, like, has a chat, and then politely leaves. Like,
yeah.
That's, he's never a problem. Like, he's so chill. Yeah. He's, like, a really chilled out guy.
I kind of love him. It is just Lance Reddick doing an oo-oo voice in, like, a costume, but it is pretty. He's pretty.
God,
like he's
rips,
fun.
Though.
He is fun.
Yeah. And that opening sequence plays. Yeesh. And hey, it's this cut and this next sequence is so jarring and so fucked that like I watch this shit on Hulu and despite paying for Hulu, there are advertisements that pop up during the show. Mm-hmm. And one of them was at this break. And I literally had to stop the app and check and make sure it was like the correct episode. Because after right. watching like 2 minutes of this, I was like, did Hulu shit the bed? Like,
yeah, it feels wrong.
Do I need
wrong,
to switch
yeah.
to fucking Plube? Like, what are we doing here?
Switch to streaming on Bippo or something.
Yeah. It's literally on Blump.
Oh my god. They don't really do this either. This is exclusive to Coven and this season, where they're like, sometimes we do like a different style of TV show / movie in the middle of the TV show, and it will be very confusing. They're gonna do it later with Mallory, and it's like, why are you doing this? Is it just to show us that you know how to do it? Like, I know you know how to do it. I don't want you to do it, but like,
right.
I know you know how to do a filter. You don't have to use it for like, like storytelling purposes. I get it. And so it's a movie, I guess. We're watching a movie, we're not watching the TV show anymore. We're now watching a removed third party movie.
Right.
That appears to be old as fuck, but it's happening now. It's being recorded now. Spoiler alert. We're like also, filming it on set currently.
A thing that annoys the shit out of me too, it also has like effects in the can and is like done in edit. Like there's like parts of it, like the intro that you do not do.
It's presented to you like an 80s slasher movie in terms of like the film stock and everything like that. You know what I mean? Like, reminded me of like, was it Sleepaway Camp or whatever?
Yeah.
And then like, but then yeah, it's like, it takes place now. They're showing like character. It like doesn't make sense.
Like,
then.
Like
yeah.
Madison walks up. This isn't a case of like, maybe it's a different time or whatever. Like, no, Madison is alive and there, which locks this into a very small window of time.
Yeah. And also like, They're going to insist, because it's like a, I guess you could call it a misdirection. They're going to treat it like a misdirection where, like, we watch a whole fucking 5 minutes of this film. Like, the film. Done. In post. Mm-hmm. The edits have been applied. The cuts are there. There's a title sequence. And then one of the actors is going to fuck up, and we're going to be like, oh, wait, no, it's being filmed right now. And I'm like, that's how a three-year-old thinks movies are made. That's not how movies are made. You don't, like, just do it all at one time in one long continuous shot, and if one person fucks it up, well, fuck it, we gotta do the whole movie again. Like, that's not how movies happen. A movie title card that says Bubbles McGee, starring in A Christmas to Dismember. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that like started with like the title card being just like the actor's name and then like starring
it's like
in
only
movie.
Bollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like really only like a Bollywood thing where you get like a separate intro for like the main actor and like he insists on having the title like hero before his name every time he's mentioned.
Yeah.
That shit's so cool.
And this part, if you're not watching along, probably doesn't mean anything to you. And honestly, it took me a few minutes to fucking even realize what was happening. If you're not watching along, Bubbles McGee is a new character, quote unquote, that we're meeting right now. It is also Evie from the first three episodes, Gallant's grandma. These are the same person. And I don't know if they're supposed to be the same lady, because this lady's name is Bubbles McGee and that lady's name was Evie. So I don't know.
Also, when they revive the witches, I don't think they revived Evie.
Yeah.
Did they?
But also, that lady, Evie, would have been, like, the same character, question mark? Like, based on, like, context clues? Like, I think Gallant would know if his grandma had, like, a secret identity. You know what I mean? Like, especially if that secret identity was an actress.
Especially since, like, her ability would be the easiest thing to detect. Right. Oh, Gallant's going to kill me. I should go.
Yeah. And because the thing is, they don't have the character, or they don't have the actress play as though this is a different character. It's just Evie, but without, like, a wig on where she looks like Liza Minnelli. So it's very confusing. But, like, it's going to be like, oh, well, this is how it ties into the first three episodes. And I'm like, well, this is a different woman who's acting exactly the same as Evie.
Right.
But whatever. This is Bubbles, who is Evie from the first three episodes, I guess, question mark, to be determined. And then in the movie, I could give a fuck less about the movie, but it's 5 minutes that we have to sit through.
Yeah. I'll just tell you, like, it's a really corny thing of a nasty Santa Claus killer of, like, she's killing her husband in a fit of rage, and then as she's hiding the body, a nasty Santa shows up at the door, and she goes, get out of here, you old nutbag, I'm not donating nothing. And then her phone goes off, and oh no, there's an alert of a nasty Santa killer or whatever. And then the child comes down the stairs and goes, whoa, it's Santa. And he like throws some heads down the chimney and they come out of the chimney and the kid goes, ah, and then he like comes out of the chimney and it's like framed in a really weird way. Like it's bizarre.
And they have him like, no, not ho, ho, ho. He goes like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, is that what evil Santa would do? Is he wouldn't say ho, ho, ho. He would say ha, ha, ha.
I should have at least.
He would do like any of the One Piece pirate laughs. Like he would be on some real fucked up Oda explicit shit.
Yeah. Also, they love this plot so much that 3 years later, they do it again in American Horror Stories. Exclamation point Patreon, I guess. in Bro House, we get this exact same thing, but with Danny Trejo as the evil fucked up Santa.
Yeah. There's also a fucked up Santa in Asylum, too. So
there
it's
is
like,
a fucked
right.
up Santa in Asylum. You're right. Damn. They love fucked yeah. up evil Santa. They fucking love evil Santa. You're right.
Babies and evil Santa are like the two most recurring things.
Well, they're the two most pure things in the world. And so, of course, it's fucked up if they're evil. Wow. Damn.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
When you put it out like that.
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. And it all takes forever. And then at one point, like, it really is just yeah, like boring.
It is.
After like as soon as they reveal the Santa, I'm like, oh, I get it. And then it just keeps going, and eventually the Santa actor just goes and they have to redo all of that, I guess, which like that was at least 5 separate camera angles, like with cuts, and like there was a child actor that appeared multiple times, and like you know you have to do a ton of cuts when a child actor's involved because they fucking stink.
And there was like six set pieces, and the set piece we end on is just like one room, whereas like it took place over like 7 rooms. Like there was a chase sequence and like it started downstairs and then it ended upstairs. Like this is the kind of thing that you would do over the course of like a month probably. Not one continuous shot, unless you were filming like on location maybe, and you had like a hella camera crew with like extreme technical skills. Not an in-studio
also, like,
fake room.
There's like multiple camera angles too, so like there wouldn't be a reason to do it as one take. Like doing a big one take shot is like a very technically impressive thing that some cinematographers do to just be like, check this shit out.
Yeah.
Like more or less. But if you do like 12 cuts, no one can know, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Bubbles is mad and annoyed and is like, can someone help pick me up already? Like, oh, brother. And it's revealed immediately that she can read minds. And one of the stagehands is just like, oh, I got a shit in his head. And she's like, you should go shit, which is
insane power play. I would cry if I had to shit and I thought that I needed to shit and then some old lady was like, you should go take a shit. I would throw up and then probably kill myself. Like
I would be sitting there thinking about like, how did she know? Like I would be like a fucking YouTube thumbnail of just being like, how did she know? I don't understand.
I would deny it. I would just straight up lie. You'd just be like, I don't think she's talking about, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And
but
this is one
if
of
you were in the scene, the follow-up would be Bubbles hearing you think like, well, I'm going to hold it for the next 2 hours. Fuck you, lady.
Like literally 2 seconds before he thinks, ooh, ow, owie, I need to take a shit. He's like, damn, that old lady's still kind of hot. I need to take a shit. Every single person whose mind she's about to read that isn't one of, like, the other main characters is going to be like, man, I'd love to fuck this old lady. And I'm like, I know that men are like that, TM, but not, like, all of them all the time.
Not literally all of them. Yeah, like, I'll be honest, if I saw this lady, I'd be like, oh, she kind of reminds me of my grandma.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
Yeah. I have to think, too, like, one in 20 people, she pulls the, oh, why don't you go take the shit thing? Like, probably get shocked enough that they just shit their pants right there and she would never ever do it again. Yeah. I would think.
Like, why is she doing that? If you can read minds, why would you, like, casually use it to terrorize people that need to take a shit? Like, why are you
Everybody
using your power
needs to
like
do
this?
It.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm gonna go rub one out in the closet or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's come
also,
on.
Also, you could just be like, excuse me, I need to get to the craft services table. And then, like, they'd be like, oh, let me get out of your way. And then go take a shit because they, like, needed yeah. to. Like, yeah. their Sims poo-poo gauge was full. They were gonna go do it.
This guy, like, isn't even near her. She's at the craft services table, and he's, like, 20 feet behind her. And she just, like, hears him be like, damn, that old lady's kind of hot. I need to take a shit. And then she's like, well, time to ruin this guy's life. And, like, it's like, why are you doing this, Bubbles? Why are you, like, harassing this man?
How dare you
want
to fuck me?
Yeah. But now Madison's here because it's regular. We're in flashback prime still currently, which is not current day, but it is where we are. And then yeah. they have, like, banter.
And it's confusing. If you think about it for a second, nothing Bubble says makes any sense, which is that, like, she was in the coven for quite a while, because we'll find out she was a contemporary with Myrtle. So she's, like, pre-OG,
I guess.
Cordelia
right?
time,
yeah.
right? Like, she's, like, yeah. been in here for a group, and we hadn't heard about her since before Madison, which does kind of make this ring of bullshit. And Bubbles is like, yeah, I was in the coven, but I left when you showed up, because I decided that I wanted to achieve a thing without magic, so I went to acting. And Madison is just like, you were upset that there was another actress witch, and I was, like, more famous than you.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think either of them are right, but I don't care.
I think Madison's probably more right. I think Madison's probably closer to being right, because what the fuck are you talking about, Bubbles? Because she's like, acting takes real skill, and I can use magic for anything. And I'm like, well, the only thing we've seen you do so far with magic is tell a guy that you know he needs to take a shit. And I think that if I really applied myself, I could probably also tell when someone needs to take a shit and harass them about it. It doesn't require magic. Yeah.
Hey, for being such, like, a good actress, you're in, like, a shitty horror movie. Like, I don't see James Dooney Dench doing, like, oh, Santa, you cut somebody's head off, you know? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Also, like, immediately, Bubbles is, like, trying to dig at Madison, being like, the only films you've been in lately are the ones where you take your clothes off. Or, no, she says the ones where the actors have to wear protection. And it's like, okay, that wasn't, like, her whole thing, though. Like, it happened once, and she clearly, like, didn't like it. Like, it wasn't, like, a cool thing. She was, like, sick afterwards.
Also,
like,
lots of like, A-list celebrities and, like, celebrities that have lots of accolades and awards have been in movies
sex
with sex scenes. It's not like she did, like, porn.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, Madison gets her to agree to go to dinner.
Yeah, for some fucking reason, more or less it's just like, hey, yeah, we need you to do the mind reading thing or whatever. Bubbles, Madison, and Myrtle are at dinner, which, to me, more questions. Why did you not simply send Myrtle, who clearly is, like, one of Bubbles' best friends? Like,
yeah.
It's so clear that Myrtle and Bubbles are, like, mad tight. And it's like, why did you lead with Madison? Who the fuck ordered this?
Okay, so,
are you stupid? Do you know?
I had, like, time to retrospect about this while I was doing the notes. And I'm like, okay, so I think what the implication is here, though they do nothing to, like, tie these plot points together, I think the implication is they were like, oh, well, they couldn't send Myrtle because Myrtle's supposed to be dead. And I'm like, I don't know that Bubbles knows that, because she doesn't, like, mention it. She isn't like, whoa, I thought you were dead. She's just like, whoa, my best friend Myrtle. Like, I don't also, think like, that makes any sense.
I know Myrtle thinks... I know Myrtle thinks she's somebody. I don't think that actually makes Myrtle anybody, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of people like fashion brands. I don't know them. I don't know their names, right? Like, like, sorry, Myrtle, you're probably nobody. So, yeah, just send Myrtle.
Yeah, it's very weird. And then the waiter, like, who's a young, handsome guy, comes to the table, and he starts pouring the water, and Bubbles immediately reads his mind, and he's like... Man, can't stop thinking about that old lady's panties. And then she's like, cool, I'm not wearing any. And he looks mortified. And I'm like, why are you terrorizing these people? You're doing psychological warfare against these men. Like, what are you getting out of this besides giving them a complex for the rest of their lives? And there's going to be a mind reading sequence later that's going to be so fucking funny. It's going to be so fucking funny. Because imagine that, like, because everybody, I think, at least if you're mentally ill like me, you have like moments where you're like, sure hope there's no mind readers nearby. They literally are like, what if that was real? What if at the exact moment a mind reader happens to be nearby? You were like, crimes, 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 crimes. Every crime I've ever done. Incrementing every single evidence of every single crime I've ever done. Also, I hate you so fucking much and I wish you were dead. Here's how I'm going to kill you. Like, imagine that that was real.
And, like, you know what the funny thing is? Because, like, a lot of people in her mind reading thing think in that active voice that, like, it's kind of rare. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do, like, I'm one of those people who thinks in, like, an inner, but not, like, about everything, like, where it's, like, I have to go take a shit now. I should bring my phone with me. You know, like, a lot of it's on autopilot by the time you're, like, 15, not even, like, 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's. Yeah, so.
They present it like a dialogue, like with yourself, like in their mind, like they're talking, like someone's like in their brain talking to them to give them information.
Right. I was going to say, it's like they're on ketamine, like they're like fighting their way out of a K-hole and they're like, I'm going to shit. I'm going to get there. I can do this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the only time I've ever actually genuinely like had thought processes like that is when I've accidentally taken like 3 times too strong of an edible or something. And I'm like manually breathing and I have to like remind myself, I'm like, you're real. You're real. And that's you in the mirror.
Yeah.
What was like, I that's doing? The only time I think about myself like that. Oh my god.
And so yeah, they're reading minds and doing all that, and they explain like what she wants her to do, and then Myrtle like inexplicably explains first of all that Bubbles reads minds, which like we know,
we figured it out.
We've done this like 3 times, we got it. And then she also says, which it's so funny that there are so many characters you could have say, and that's why I'm so good at sucking dick, and it would be fine, and I would be totally cool with it. But Myrtle is like the one character specifically who's like so blatantly anti-sucking dick.
Yeah.
Like, there ain't in our way she'd be sucking dick. No shot. And that's what she says. She's like, and I was roommates with Bubbles and she taught me to suck dick real good. And it's like, what are you talking about? Your like whole deal is that you hate men. That's your whole thing. Like, literally, you're a one note character. You're like Misandry. That's your deal. Fuck.
Yeah. She means like metaphorical dick. She's really good at sucking metaphorical dick. Also, like, did magic make Bubbles better at it?
The dick of the mind.
Yeah. Did Bubbles use, like, magic? Was that, like, her power? Do you think that was one of the 7 wonders at one point, and that's why the warlocks actually, like, didn't try and do it? If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
Yeah.
Oh my fucking god. So in case you guys forgot, she can read minds, because now we've had two characters establish that she can read minds, and we've seen her do it 3 times now. And then, in what is, I'm sure, not a very annoying fucking plot device that definitely won't get fucking old, Myrtle starts to explain why they need Bubbles' help, and Bubbles just cuts Myrtle off and finishes Myrtle's thought out loud, you know, to reinforce that she can read minds. That would be so fucking annoying. I would kill Bubbles. Can I say, is this a safe space? I would kill Bubbles if that's what Bubbles did all the time, is just finish your sentences for you. I would fucking murder Bubbles. I'm just saying. I think Bubbles maybe got kicked out of the coven, is what I'm saying. That's my, that is my secret theory, is that just Bubbles was actually kicked out. Yeah, for being a piece of shit who doesn't let anybody finish their own sentences.
Nothing would have worked with that either, because then she could also have read Spaulding's mind, right? If she was around for him.
Yeah. She could have.
So then that whole plot.
There's so much of season one that if you could read minds doesn't work, which is why when Cordelia can basically fucking read minds and when Nan can fucking read minds, it's a problem.
Nan can read minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is my problem with it, is like Nan could read minds. And so because of that, they're trying to establish like, no, Bubbles like reads minds too. Like it's like better. It's like deeper the way she does it. And the way they try to explain that is, Madison asks Bubbles, if, did you just read Myrtle's mind? Which, like, I got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and I, like, it's a case of two, like, she's just kind of like, oh, she can, like, read your, like, thoughts and intentions and feelings. It's not just reading your mind or whatever. Like, she can tell what your soul wants. And it's like, well, not really. It's pretty clearly just reading minds later on. Like, it's literally people thinking, like, damn, I'd love a bowl of that chili. And she's like, oh, they want a bowl of that chili. Like, that's not different from reading minds.
It's all insane things, too, because it's like people who are like, remember that crime I committed like 2 weeks ago? Like, why are you thinking of that now? And but fortunately you were, because what's Bubbles picked up on it. The fuck's her name, Bubbles?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. So then they are just like, yeah, we're going to handle it. And Bubbles is like, it's fine. He's not the son of Satan. You guys need to chill out about there being a male supreme. And then Myrtle's like, no, it's actually pretty bad. And it's like, well, can she read everything and the minds and everything, or fucking not? Because, like, this is pretty clear, like, she didn't.
Madison saw it. Like, this is clear. Madison fucking saw it in person. She watched Michael come to hell and save her. Why does Bubbles not see that in Madison's mind? Why does Bubbles not see, oh, shit, that guy went to hell and saved, like, a bunch of people and, like, did a lot of really scary shit. Like, why did nobody... why does she not see that part?
So, it's voodoo time, baby. Right. We gotta meet Papa Legba, and Dinah's doing it, and it's a stupid ritual where they pour a little rum in a glass and put a cigar on the table, and it's just called, like, a nice way to greet your husband, I guess. Like, it's not really, like, a crazy, like, it's not a crazy ritual. They don't, like, kill an animal or anything. It's just like, here's some rum, here's a cigar. And then she's just like, Papa Legba, show up, please. I'd love to have you around for a little bit. Papa Legba, got a nice cut of the rum today for you, buddy. And then he's like, hello. Or I'm sorry, he's like, hello. I'm here. I would love a drink of that rum, please. I really can't overstate that it is Lance Reddick doing an Awoo voice, and it's so fucking funny. It's so funny every time he's like, I'm gonna need the souls of all them witches. It's like, come on, man.
We need the souls of all those witches. Thanks, Papa Legba. You're my best friend. Papa Legba does kick ass, though, and he seems pretty fucking chill. Yeah. Like, he seems pretty chill, especially in this scene.
Yeah. I walk away from this scene thinking Dinah's the problem, mostly.
Right.
If I'm being honest. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, so yeah, they summon up Papa Legba, but he shows up, and immediately Papa Leg was like, hey, Dinah, you thinking about doing the baby immortality thing again? Just to clarify, I wanna be clear here. I made you an offer once earlier, and you said no, and I'm making you that offer again. I just want to be clear
good
about
point.
What I'm
You're right.
doing here.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
point.
I just want to make sure up front that we discuss that an offer I previously gave you that you didn't take, I'm now showing up
Still
to
on
offer
the table.
That to you.
Yeah.
Again, if you'd like, you can ask a second time. It's cool. I don't mind. And she's like, no, I'm not doing the baby stealing thing. And it's like, motherfucker, you just killed a lady and fed her heart to another, like a guy. Like, what are you talking? Like, I gotta be honest. Baby stealing seems pretty low tier at this point. That seems like it'd be like a nice, like easy day. Oh, man. So then she's like, no, I'm calling you for Cordelia. And Cordelia's like, hey, I have a plan to deal with this nasty guy. I need you to open the gates of hell and then I can push him in and then you can close the gates of hell. Which, like, Cordelia, he went into hell and got three people and walked out. Like, he... Misty Day told you, hey, when he was in hell, he was able to, like, communicate with the homies.
Yeah.
Like, don't right. send him there. It's not good. He clearly has an in with the big man. Like, you gotta... Yeah, it's, putting him in hell is no good. Like, that's clearly he can just walk in and out at his leisure. Like, he can walk in and out in his, at his leisure to a degree that you had given up on personally at the hotel. You were like, I guess it's too permanently locked to hell. No one could ever get out of this. And then he was just like, Lmao anyway.
Yeah. Like, also,
as a I'm the lock-picking lawyer here to show you how to get out of this hotel. It's open. See ya.
So Cordelia literally sent two people to do, like, intel to find out about him, and they came back like, yeah, bad news. He might be the son of the devil. Like, like, literally, she knows that he's, like, the son of Satan, quote-unquote. And even Papa Legba in this scene is like, no.
That masturbating therapist wouldn't lie, okay? Come on.
True.
All right, I'm sorry.
Oh my god. So, like, Cordelia knows that, like, his deal is that, in theory, potentially, son of Satan. So, like, the only thing I can think of is she's like, well, if he goes to, like, Papa Legba hell, that's a different hell. Which, to be fair, from what this show has shown us, that's true. I guess it is
a
different hell.
They're just making it up as they go, you know? So it might as well be a different hell.
But
it,
like,
doesn't matter.
If that's the case, and that means Papa Legba has domain, he's like the Satan, quote unquote, of that, like, hell or whatever, why not just ask Papa Legba to, like, fight with you in, like, the Fate Stay Night Satan Wars? Like, why not just try and get him to fight with you so that you can just kill him and then not have to deal with him anymore?
Not a lot of souls to take after a nuclear war, right? Or babies or whatever the fuck
wants.
You know, yeah, but...
And so Papa Leg was just like, nah, I don't want to betray my boss. And it's like, what do you mean betray your boss? What the fuck are you talking about? It's like, I'm just like a gatekeeper. I'm not like actually the boss of any hell. And it's like, you're literally the boss of a hell. What do you mean, man? And so he's really reluctant to do it. And Papa Legba's like, yeah, I'll do it. And you know what? Last time you and a voodoo witch worked together, you sent me my favorite funky fella, my favorite best friend now. It's Nan. And then Nan pops up and is like, yeah, don't worry, everyone who was mad that I got sent to hell for no reason in Coven. I actually think it was good. I liked it. It was fun for me. Yippee.
I love Papa Legba. Like, he's my best friend.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. It's just like, truly, they were like, we need to give a good ending to this character. What happened? Oh, she got abandoned in a foreign hell. Like, oh, she thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And no one came looking for her. Cannot overstate, no one came looking for her.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
Every other hell got rescued. Like, all the rest of them got pulled out in Papa Legba. They were like... God, you know how it is.
No, they didn't even ask. I bet you Michael Landon could have pulled it off, right? He's gotten a visa to this hell or whatever, and then, you know, but they didn't even bother. It was like, oh, Nan, you're with Papa Legba, right? Oh.
If Papa Legba was like, I'll trade you for a baby, Michael Langdon would like be like, which of these seven babies would you like? I stole them in 10 minutes.
Oh, I was like, just bringing a baby as a gift to say hi. I didn't even realize. Yeah, sure. No, this is great. This worked out perfect.
I just assumed you'd want one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's really funny is like, we're like joking, like, yeah, Nan's like, oh, I love my best friend Papa Legba. And Papa Legba's like, I love my best friend Nan. No, that's like literally what the conversation is they're both like, I love my best friend. We get up to so much silly little shenanigans in hell. We're having such a great time. And then Papa Legba's like, I love my best friend Nan so fucking mm-hmm. much that I want actually like all of the witches, because they kick ass. Actually, it's so cool. I want to hang out with like fucking all of them. I think it's so fucking cool. And Cordelia's like, no, my babies. And she's like, you can have my soul. And Papa Legba's like, well, you seem kind of like a wet blanket. No, thank you. I want the right. other witches. Like,
for what you're asking, that's not enough. I'm betraying my boss. And everyone's like, what do you mean your boss? And he's like, I need more. Give me all the witches. And Cordelia's like, no, I can't. You can take mine. No, I don't want that. I want all of them. And then fucking Dinah does the most annoying shit on the planet and like looks at Cordelia and is just like, no, don't be a fool, while like shaking her head. And it's like, the only way it would have been more annoying is if she like was shaking her head and then started nodding her head and then started shaking her head again while she said it. It's like so intentionally vague.
Doing an oscillating thumbs up and thumbs down at the same time to make it just as confusing as fucking possible. Like, literally, I could not think. If I was in Cordelia's shoes, there is no way I don't interpret what Dinah is doing as her telling me, hey, don't fucking do what he's telling you to do.
Don't make a deal.
Because the first thing we see is him trying to make a deal with Dinah and Dinah being like, fuck no. So like,
yeah.
She definitely is giving off don't fucking do that vibes. And Papa Legba's like, okay.
Which also, like, that's probably most people's default brain space when they're making a devil deal, is looking for someone signaling, don't do this.
That right?
feels like what you'd be, like, keyed up for. Yeah, you'd be like, all right, I need to, like, hi, I'm hiring you as my expert to help me with this, to make sure it doesn't go fucking higgledy-piggledy. And what do? You give me the most confused, you look at me and kind of hold your hand in the air sideways and go, and, like...
But maybe more frustrating is that Papa Legba is like, okay, I fucking gave you a chance. And then he leaves. And then Cordelia is like having a panic attack. And Dinah's like, what the fuck did you do, Cordelia? And Cordelia's like, well, what else can I give him? What else can I offer him? And Dinah's like,
there's got to be another way.
Yeah, there's got to be another way. And Dinah's like, you get one chance with Papa Legba. He only offers you one deal. You should have taken it. He never offers a deal twice, Cordelia.
He'll never come back and be like, hey, so you thought about that thing I sent you? Oh, and not the thing he literally walked in the door doing in this fucking scene.
And I'm like, this is twofold annoying, because one, we literally saw him offer a second deal at the beginning of this scene. And two, Dinah, could you not have been a little more fucking clear about the subtext of what it was that you were fucking saying maybe 5 seconds ago? You're definitely not putting off, like, do it, Cordelia. Because she says something to the effect of, like, now because of you, Cordelia, not only will your girls die, but also will 6 billion people. And I'm like, we're still using the 6 billion estimate in 2021 or whenever this fucking came out?
Also, there are just, like, so many chances for Dinah to have interjected. And, like, if she wanted her to take the deal, Papa Legba's historically been into people taking his deals. So if you had chimed up to be like, Cordelia, you should really take this. He only is going to offer you this. You're not going to get a bet. You should take this. Papa Legba would probably be like, oh, by the way, thanks for that. I made you live 2 years longer. No baby needed. Yeah. See you later. Like,
yeah, like, thanks.
Here's a tip. Bye.
Yeah, thanks for ringing my wingman or whatever. That's the thing, is like, You said it like a few minutes ago, but like that would be the kind of thing that you would like, because she definitely warns Cordelia about a bunch of stuff. She's like, because when Cordelia first approaches her, like back at the car in the first episode or in the first part of the episode, and then Cordelia's like, I need to speak to Papa Legba. Dinah like goes like, whew, you must be at a hell of a crossroads because you do not want to fuck with that guy. So like she's very forthcoming with like, hey, you don't want to fuck with that guy information. You'd think, hey, he's going to offer you one deal and you need to fucking take whatever deal he offers you or it's no dice before you even do the ritual. That way, when we get to the scene where he's like, I want all the witches, there's some stakes for us, the audience, because we know that Dinah has prepped us to know, hey, he's going to offer one thing and he's not going to accept anything else. It would actually add to like the tension of the scene. But instead, they have Dinah be like, yeah, I probably should have mentioned earlier, he's only going to offer one deal.
They could even like sell Cordelia thinking about it really hard by like having him at some point be like, hey, can you hurry it up? And then just be like, oh, I'll pour you another glass of rum and pull you out another cigar. And he'll be like, ah, okay. Like they could show time passing to be like, yeah, Cordelia had to think about this really hard. Instead, she's just like, no. And he's like, all right, well, see you. Bye. No tension. Later.
It kind of just makes Cordelia seem less like a witch and more just like a regular person just thrust in the scenario. Like, so this guy, is he going to come back or what? Like, how do you not know this? Like, you knew to call him, you know, but, oh, all right. I thought we were haggling, but I guess not. Jeez, fucking Papa Legba. But,
shit. Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have called Dinah. Maybe we should have just done the ritual ourselves since we know how to do it. Because we know that she knows how to do it since season 3. But alas, we have maybe crossed like the I think 16-minute mark of the television show. The next sequence that's going to happen in our next episode of podcast, flabbergasting. Flabbergasting sequence of events starring all of the other witches back at the house. You will never guess what they're getting up to, and I promise you, you will never in a million years guess what they're getting up to back at the Robichaud house right now. What's going on there? It's gonna blow your fucking mind.
And you're never gonna believe what the nasty boy wizards at the top have fucking cooking in their weed grinder. They've got something sinister in that shit.
We taught drugs misogyny. It's fucked up.
Fuck me, man. Yeah, that shit's crazy. You're not gonna believe it. It's so awesome because like nothing meaningful happens, but they do it in like the craziest ways they could have, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, goddamn.
So yeah, next time, get ready for one character to die twice. Just kidding. Someone else to just randomly be given a title. Yeah, it's going to be cool. I think you're going to like it. So, till next time, have a great evening.
Bye.
Later.